The next song we're about to sing, I was very hesitant to sing it today. But I felt the angel of the Lord sing this melody in my heart sometimes this week. It speaks so much volume to the character of our God. We started singing it sometimes last week during the service, and before I knew it, it turned out to be quite a melody that really burdened my spirit. So I'm just going to invite you to sing along or to just like meditate on the words of this song. Some of you might remember it goes something like, He's good, He's good, His name is Emmanuel. 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 One more time, church, say, He's good. Emmanuel, He's good, He's good, His name is Emmanuel. Lift up your doors, O ye ancient gates, deaf, lamb, and barren, beholds the King of glory. He is full of grace and mercy all around. This is our God, to whom we raise this song. There will be joy in the city of the Lord. Tears wiped away in the warmth of His embrace. And with the host of heaven we'll rejoice. Here on the mountain of Zion we will sing. Oh, He is good, He's good, His name is Emmanuel. He is good, He's good, His name is Emmanuel. He is good, He's good, His name is Emmanuel. He is good, He's good, His name is Emmanuel. Be if it weren't for your grace, you've been a friend, a helper, and a guide. We raise our banner for all to see your name. You reign forever, and we marvel at your glory. Those who are wise will worship you forever, and the redeemed will bow before your throne. For you are gracious and you abound in kindness. Jesus, our God, to you we raise this song. Oh, you are good, you're good, your name is Emmanuel. You are good, you're good, your name is Emmanuel. You are good, you're good, your name is Emmanuel. You are good, you're good, your name is Emmanuel. It's been your mercy and your grace that carried me. It's been your mercy and your grace that carried me. It's been your mercy and your grace that carried me. Come on, church, cry it out.
It's been your mercy and your grace that carried me. Oh, it's been your mercy and your grace that carried me through our sister, oh God. It's been your mercy and your grace that carried me. Oh, it's been your mercy and your grace that carried me. Yeah. You are good. You're good. Your name is Emmanuel. You are. Your name is Emmanuel. You are good. You are. Hey. Your name is Emmanuel. You are. Oh, you're good. Your name. See, you are good. You are good. You're good. Your name is Emmanuel. You are good. You're good. Your name is Emmanuel. 'Cause it's been your mercy and your grace that carry. Come on, church, raise this sound and say, it's been your mercy and right in the valleys, it's been your mercy and your grace that carry. Throughout every trial, oh God, it's been your mercy and your grace that carry. When I didn't know what to do, Jesus, it's been your mercy and your grace that carry. Oh, it's been your mercy and your grace that carry. Oh, it's been your mercy. It's been your mercy and your grace that carry. This is our declaration today. It's been your mercy and your grace that carry. See, you are good. You are good. You're good. Your name is Emmanuel. You are good. You're good. Your name is, just one last time, say, you are, oh, you're good. Your name is Emmanuel. You are good. You're good. Your name is Emmanuel. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain and seated on the throne. There's no one like the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. If you are here, you are not feeling well in body, or you are feeling heaviness, please just come forward. We just want to pray with you. We're just going to continue singing the same song. If there's someone, you are not feeling well in body, or you are just feeling a heaviness in your soul, the Lord says, come unto me and I'll give you rest. Would love to pray with you. Anyone like that? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's continue worshiping. Let's continue worshiping. Yeah.
Yeah. I just feel heavy. Okay. I just all you do my boyfriend. Just silly things. And I just feel like nothing is going my way. I know I can't put my faith in people, so, you know. Yeah. But sometimes people do let you die.
She's argued with the boyfriend. She's feeling heaviness. She argued with the boyfriend this morning, so just want to pray.
And maybe also, like, I was sitting in the corner. I didn't come in because we were arguing on the phone. And I think sometimes the devil does that. He doesn't want you to. He maybe didn't want me to come to church, and just hear me. I don't like this.
Yeah, okay, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Freedom. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you.
Right now, Lord.
Thank you.
Right now, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
The garment of praise, God, for the Spirit of heaviness, in the name of Jesus. As your daughter, Lord, even now fixes her eyes on you, God.
Thank
you.
On
Jesus. Fixes her eyes on
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord. Thank you. That you clothe her with your presence, God. You clothe her with your presence. And you strengthen her with your word, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Right now, God, every life that is ministering, God, right now we rebuke every life, God, every single thing, Lord, that the enemy has said, God, that wants to set itself up against her knowledge of you, God, right now, God, in the name of Jesus, we declare for your peace, just fill her
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. You are a good God. You are a good Father. You are a good Father. Thank you that you are a good Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Shandarala mama siti biosondo mo. Musherele bebe uzukuma undiribosondo mundo. Moribo seter. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you love us and you care. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It's fine. I'll use the chair. Thanks. Morning, everyone. Sure. Thank you. Welcome to church. Just welcome your neighbor. Just welcome your neighbor. Talk to your neighbor. Welcome them to church. Let them feel at home. Yeah, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. God is good. It's our last service today. It's our last service, and God is good. God works in us. The Bible says, him that began a good work in you is able to bring it to perfection. I'm confident that God that's been working in us throughout the year is bringing us into a new season again and is going to continue to build us and to build us. Amen. good to see. It's good to see the Caroline Bradley's parents. In my culture, is my dad and my mom. I'm not allowed to call them anything other than that. it's honor, it's respect. Your brother's parents are your parents. Yeah. So if I'm too calm today, you know who to blame. good to see Marlene. I know you were here last week, and we enjoyed. Actually, didn't get to chat with you again after the service here. But it's good to see you, and thank you that today you came with Randall. Welcome, Randall. Thank you so much for coming, for visiting us, and we value the people. Good to see Charlene. Good to see you guys. Good to see everyone. If you are new here, please feel welcome. My name is Talent. Please feel welcome. This is the house of the Lord. Everything is in order, right? Okay, cool. I'm going to speak a little bit about Christmas, since it's the season and since this is our last service. I'm going to share a bit about that, and I've entitled this my sermon "Christmas: The Living, the Dead, and the Zombies." I get a chuckle there. That's good. So I'm just going to share. Next slide, please. I'm just going to share a few things. Whew. Thank you, Sam, and Siko for leading us in worship. I'm still feeling like. Should I go ahead and preach, or should we just stay and just enjoy the presence? It's one of those moments you're like, should I not? But yeah. All right, let's see if we can tackle this in, I think this slide's weird. Next slide, I will come back to this slide. So I'll come back after this, go back to slide. I think I interchanged them. I think we all know, the Christ in Christmas, by the way, there's a lot of movement going on in the woke world to try and take away the Christian, due to a Christian tradition that built our civilization, our day. One of those is Xmas. It's Christmas, it's not Xmas. There's BC and AD, the calendar. I know after Anno Domini, after the birth of Christ, today is 2023. AD, which is after the birth, not after death, but actually after the birth of Christ, before Christ. So now they are changing it to before common era and all that. But it doesn't take away the fact that this is where Christ was, the beginning. He was there at the beginning of time. But even our modern calendar, he's the one that divided our modern calendar, that literally started our modern calendar, so to say. So I want to share, we all know the story of Christmas, so I'm not going to go into the traditional Christmas story. I think we've watched enough movies and films and about Christmas and carols. It's part of our culture now, it's part of our tradition, which is very good. I'm going to take a slightly different angle, you will see in a moment. But we all know the story. Look from chapter 1, we know the virgin birth is one of our core doctrines as a church. It's a pillar. The Christian faith, one of the pillars is that Christ was born of a virgin. That Mary was a virgin when she got pregnant of Jesus Christ because of God and the Holy Spirit. And he bore a son who, because of that, is the Son of God. He's both human and God, because he is born of woman, but he is also of the seed of the Father. So in that sense, he is able to represent us, to represent man before God. And that is key. That's what buys our salvation, because we needed a man, a sacrifice that could represent us before God and still be man and still be God. And so that is at the core of our faith. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. I'm so glad when Sam started to speak about Jesus as the king, I was like, how did you know that this is part of my sermon? That he came as a baby in a manger, but he's coming back as a king. And even right there at the beginning as a baby, the prophetic word was very clear that the kingdom of his kingdom, there will be no end. In other words, he is a king with a kingdom. He came as a baby to be a king with a kingdom. And his kingdom, the growth of his kingdom, there is no end. We are part of his kingdom. We are here today because of the expansion of his kingdom. We are here today because we are the direct fulfillment of this prophetic word. That's light. So I would like to... The previous slide. Yes. So I would like to say that we don't hear a lot about Jesus except about his birth. His birth was so profound. Wise men from the east, the Herod wanted to kill. I mean, it was a big deal. It was a big deal. But we hear about his birth, and then we hear about him as a child. He grew as a child in favor with man, favor with God. Grew in wisdom, and then we get to hear him again at the age of 12 when he went up to Jerusalem on a feast, religious feast, and then he began to teach in the synagogue, and then he was lost when Joseph and Mary thought he's with the other. And then we also don't hear much between 12 to 29. We then start to hear about him about to start his ministry, being baptized by John the Baptist. And not long after that, him also calling his own 12 disciples and starting his own ministry and starting to minister the gospel, starting to fulfill his very calling, his very purpose on earth from 30 to 33 years when he was crucified and he rose again so that you and me can be here today. That's the story of Christmas. The story of Christmas doesn't end at his birth. The story of Christmas is the story of redemption. It's the story of reconciliation. It's the story of how Jesus came as a baby. The story of Christmas does not end at the door. Christmas is just but the door of the story. It's the entrance of the story. But the story is much larger and its consequences are much bigger. Steve was here a few weeks ago. He was speaking. He was saying when Jesus comes back again as a king, it's going to be like that rugby match where it was France versus the Springboks. That at the end of this match, some will be crying and some will be rejoicing. And that's the story of the king. The story of the king began that, but its ultimate end is going to be like that final whistle on the rugby match day, where there will be a division of those that have not made him Lord and those that have submitted to his kingdom. Some will be crying, those that have not submitted to his kingdom will be crying because it will be too late. The point, the time, when that clock begins to tick every second and that clock comes to an end, there's no turning back. So coming is the time when this king who came as a baby on a manger is coming back again as a king. And when he comes back again as a king, he's going to divide and separate the goats and the sheep. And the goats are those that have not submitted to his will, have not walked with him in his relationship. And the sheep are those that have submitted to the king. And the sheep are going to go to an everlasting damnation. And the goats are going to go to an everlasting damnation like the losers in the final match. And then those that see him coming will rejoice at his coming and say, worthy is the lamb that comes, him that rides on a white horse. We will be looking forward to his coming just as we celebrate his coming, his first coming through Christmas today. So the journey of Christmas is the journey of celebration of his birth, but it is also a journey of anticipation of his second coming. I just wanted to share with you a bit of my story in, I know some of you have seen that picture before. I want to share a bit of my story just of how Christmas, I've had three distinct Christmases in my life. I've had quite a few years, but I think I looked back when I was preparing for this, I looked back at the three Christmases I have had and I realized, you know what, my Christmases can be broken down into three categories. When I was very young, from the age of about 3 to 9, 3, 4, I don't know what's the earliest age I could remember, but 3, 4, to about 9 years old, I was in a farming community, in a rural setting, and that's where I grew up, and that's where I first experienced Christmas. And nobody really told me the full story of Christmas, like I've just articulated to you. No, people told me the entrance. People told me just enough to understand that Christ came into the world. But they didn't tell me the full story. But let me just share with you how Christmas in the village, for some of you who are not quite familiar, how Christmas in the farming community goes. The farming community is disconnected from the rest of the world, from the towns and cities. The homes are distant from each other and all stuff. And there are very few cars that run around. And so around this time of Christmas, December, around this time, you start to see an increase of cars coming in and coming out. And you know, as a baby, as a kid, and that was enough a sign. I didn't know the calendar, but that was enough a sign that something is about to happen, that Christmas is just around the corner, because you could see lots of cars from people coming from Egoli, from Joburg, from the city, and, you know, coming to show off, you know, their wealth, what they got, and the uncle, my uncle would come with a big radio. He would be playing it, holding it, and playing with loud volume, and I knew that something was up, something was going on. That was my first Christmas. But on the day itself, Christmas was about that thing that you see there that we are running after. It was about a special meal. That was Christmas for us. At least for my age, that was the special treat. Before there were these broilers and all this chicken you could buy from the shops, this roadrunner kind of chicken, this was the special treat. It was a special meal. And it was, you know, when Christmas comes, you know that you are going to have a drumstick of that nice thing. So Christmas for us as a kid in the village was that day when we were going to have bread and jam and all sorts of spread. We're going to eat as much as we want. There's no limitations. Nobody's going to tell you are taking too much carbs. You eat as much as you want. So it was a day of freedom, a day of eating, a day of, you know, it was a day of celebration. But this picture epitomizes what would happen, because early in the morning, the boys would run after the chickens that needs to be slaughtered and that needs to go into and have a big meal. And that picture, for me, crystallizes what I understood about Christmas when I was a kid, growing up from those ages. And we also used to have this funny saying that we used to ask, which says, "How many Christmases have you eaten?" I know it might sound strange to some of you, but Christmas was a thing to be eaten. So Christmas was not some festive thing. Christmas is, because it's about food. It's about the celebration. It's about, you know, the day where you have abundance. So it was like, how many? So when we wanted to know how old you are, we would ask you, how many Christmases have you had? That's how we know your age. So I've eaten 5 Christmases, so you must be 5 years old. That's how so Christmas was much more than a festivity. It marked the end of the year. It marked a year. It was a measure of time. It was a measure of time in our calendar as well. That was then. But the next phase of my life, the next Christmas I experienced, next slide please, was the Christmas in the city. I then moved to the city, I think at the age of 9. We moved to the city, and Christmas was a whole different beast in the city. In the farming community, it was laid back. It was about this, and we would go, and you know, in the afternoon, we would go to one homestead or to the somewhere where there would be a big party with big PA system. Then we would dance in the dust and all stuff. But in the city, it was a different beast. In the city, I came to the city. I was 9. I was around thereabout. And in the city, it was a different Christmas started to be clear that Christmas is about the Christian faith. Because even though we had church in the village, it was too far. I never associated Christmas with church. And because we never had a service on a Sunday or on Christmas, I never drew the link as a kid that Christmas and Christianity are the same. But when I went to the city now as a boy, the link was so clear, because in Christmas, we'll have a Christmas service. We're having a Christmas service in Durbanville. We'll have a Christmas service as usual. We went to Lutheran Church at the time. We'd go, the preacher would preach. And for the first time, you start to see things like Christmas trees that you never knew existed. And well, I'm like, what's that? I'm like, I've never seen that. I've always thought Christmas is just a chicken. Yeah, you see the Christmas trees, you see all the stuff and all the decorations, and the priest, the preacher would come and give a sermon. Yeah, but also before then, before the day, you could see that there's a vibe because the lights will be on. The city would put on the lights, Christmas decorations all around the city. You just know that there's a different vibe, something is happening. And I'm pretty sure some of us are a bit quite familiar with this. And then the other thing, if you can see that, that's a TV screen. On our TV, right, the whole month of December, it was the Jesus movies. Christmas movies, Born in a Manger, the dramas, all the sorts of things. So you knew, even if you didn't know the year, the time, you knew when you started to see those things on the screen, that it must be Christmas time. It must be Christmas time, because those things would come, and sometimes they'll be on repeat and stuff. Joseph sometimes would also act out at school or at church. We would have a drama where we would act as a Mary, Joseph, and the wise men from the east. So it really became clear what Christianity, what Christmas is, the foundations of it. Having said that, I must say that for me, looking back, this is now me looking back, looking back at the different Christmases I've experienced in my different age and different times, I see that this was much more clearer, much more connected to the original doctrine or festival. But something else came with this Christmas in the town, in the city. There was church, there was fireworks, there were TV Jesus films, but there were parties. There were accidents, there were drunken drivers, there were people rolling on the road, skidding, there were all sorts of chaos. And so I couldn't reconcile these two. I couldn't reconcile the chaos of Christmas and the Jesus Christmas. Because even on TV, it seems like every time the highest number of deaths on the road, the highest accidents, you would see the news. You would see all these wreckages. If it's Christmas time, that's what you're going to see. All this commotion, all this disaster, all this bad stuff. And my mind could not wrap around these two contradictions. I'm not sure about you, but I got to a place where I couldn't, on reflection, I couldn't understand how this Christmas thing has become a tradition. I didn't know the scriptures at the time, but I could tell you that something is not right. I could tell that something somewhere is not right somewhere. Why would Jesus, who came to give us life, why would this be the experience? Just checking my time. I want to see how much I'm doing for time. I think I'm doing okay. This is the main slide. This is where, on reflection, I want you to reflect with me. This is my reflection journey, but I want to take with you on this reflection journey. Christmas, the living, the dead, and the zombies. I don't mind a place of ignorance, a place of a total sinner, a place of not even knowing what Christmas and Christianity are together. It's a place that when Paul looks back in his epistles, writes when Saul has been converted, it has become a Paul, and he looks back at his past and he says, I was dead in sin, but now I am alive. And he writes, he says, all of you were dead in your trespasses. Even though I was a law-abiding Jew that followed the religious traditions of our faith, I went up to Jerusalem every Easter, every tradition, I followed it meticulously to the T. But he turns around and says, but I was dead. You would think that people that uphold Christian traditions and stuff are actually to be celebrated. But Paul says, please don't celebrate me. I was the best at keeping the law. I was faultless. But he says, I now count all that, all the good works I did, all the good boy, all the, he was part of the religious leader system. I now count all that as dung. Actually, dung actually is actually a much more milder translation. I now can't count it as stuff that needs to go through down the bathroom. All the good stuff I did as if I was doing for God, because I was taught as a kid that this is our culture as Jews. God delivered us from Israel. I used to follow it meticulously. But he writes about that episode of his life as a time of being dead. And I'm like,
this down. Thank you.
All right. Let's just go to the next slide. Next slide. I'm getting up ahead of myself. Let's go to the next one. Yeah, this one. Let me finish off my story first, and I'll come back to what I just spoke to you about Paul. 13, from the age of 13 to date, I started to experience a different Christmas. And it's no longer in the activities. I want you to understand that. Obviously, I can tell you the activities we did, but we would have watch nights, all night of prayer, on a Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve. I mean, I got born again at the age of 13, 12, 13, somewhere there. And I had a personal experience with Jesus. And all of a sudden, the Christian journey, I was going to church. I was part of church but when someone came to my place and they preached Jesus that I can have a personal relationship with, and they preached the gospel in its fullness, I realized, and I'm like, I would like to give my life to Jesus. I went up to the front, I lifted up my hands, I said, Jesus, please come into my life. From today onwards, be the Lord and the Savior of my life. And from that day onwards, when I opened my eyes, the sun was like it's new. Everything was like it's fresh. I experienced, for the first time, I experienced God for myself. All along, when I was a kid, I was following what my parents' God, my parents' religion, because it there were moral standards that I was expected to follow. But I was doing it outwardly because my mom says did. We go to church. But it was never my personal ownership, my personal experience of a personal relationship with God. I would do stuff just to make my mom happy. I would be a good boy. But if I'm alone with the boys and if there's a chance to do stuff, I would do the mischief because nobody's watching me. But when Jesus came into my life. When Jesus came into my life, the world changed. It's no longer about my mom. There was this excitement. There was this joy. I couldn't wait to go to church on Sunday, on a Friday, on all night. I found myself wanting to be at prayer, at every prayer meeting, every time, because there was this fire inside of me. All of a sudden, there was this life inside of me. It's no longer just about the culture, the tradition, the religion, the moralism, and following this. It was because it's coming from deep within. I've experienced it. I own it. It is me. I've met this Christ that they talked about. And Christmas, even though we would still go to my mom's church in the same tradition, in the same stuff, that it everything became alive. So it was no longer about the activity that was on the outside, but it was about the light that was on the inside. I started to live life from the inside out. So it didn't matter what on the outside was, but what was on the inside of me is Christ, and that life is what dictated my world. So for the first time, I experienced true joy on the inside. For the first time, I experienced true liberty. For the first time, I experienced what it means to have true life. And there are many other stuff. But what happened is that within the next 2-3 years, when you are a child, you can't choose where you go to church. And I obviously went to boarding school, backslid for about a year or two. And I kind of lost that thing that I had. But after, at the age of 15, I got back to God again. I got filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. The experience was even much, much, much more. I mean, many levels over than what I had experienced before. And therefore, Christmas ceased to be an outward thing for me. The lights are still there. The Christmas lights, the chicken is still there. You go to the village, the chicken will still be slaughtered. The loud parties, all those are still there. But something has changed inside of me. And my Christmas changed. My Christmas changed because of that. I would like us to go back to Paul, to the earlier slide, the earlier one again. I would like us to, yeah, maybe keep on this one. I'd like us to go back to Paul. And he says in Philippians chapter 3, he says, if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. I was circumcised on the 8th day. In other words, if it's an African, I am an African, I come as they go. If it's an Afrikaner, I'm an Afrikaner, they come as they go. If I'm a Jew, my blood is Jew, in and out. I was even circumcised right according to traditions. I am as Jewish as they come. Of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, he even uses that word. There's no English version of emphasis. In African languages, we have these words. We double the word if you want to emphasize something. Like sleep. Like that sleep. Like now is now. Now is like now. So unfortunately, when you translate it to the English, it doesn't come out like we have this. So he's trying to tell you that a Hebrew of Hebrews, like the real one, the Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard of the law, a Pharisee. The Pharisee is not what you think of today. The Pharisee was the greatest or the highest level of ministry in the day, besides the priesthood. It was an honorable role. It was like a pastor today. You understand? So a Pharisee, because of history, we now think them as people that, you know, don't live what they say. But back in the day, a Pharisee is just like, just think of a pastor. That was, he's telling you that I'm not just an ordinary Hebrew. I've gotten even to the highest. I'm a spiritual leader in this regard. A Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church. Because part of it, part of being a sincere, on fire pastor is that you are protecting your religion vehemently. If someone wants to bring in evil doctrines into the church, we attack them. We won't let people start to say that Jesus was not born of a virgin. We won't let that happen. It's the same here. Christianity at the time was seen as a thing that's coming to corrupt the God-given religion that was given to Moses. And therefore, every leader, every spiritual leader, it was their God-given right to fight it. So they thought, to fight anything that threatened this pure religion, because it was given by God right in Mount Sinai. So, So I want you to see that as you read this, that when he's talking about a Pharisee, he's not talking about some pretender guy. He's talking about the best of the best. The people that are there to protect our tradition and our religion, this God-given spirituality. He says, I was the best, I was persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, I was faultless. That's Saul before he became Paul. He's telling you that I did everything. I did everything you could ask me to do according to the book of Moses. I was righteous, I was faultless. But then he turns around and says, that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. There are many verses about his past being a dead that I could share with you. He says, I count all that as dung. In other words, he looks at all that time where he was faultless, where he was the best of the best. He says, I was dead in my sins. And this is where I want us to reflect the story of Christmas this morning. That Christmas is not about a perfect tradition. There is no perfect Christmas. The perfect Christmas is the Christ in you, the hope of glory. I just shared with you the different Christmases I experienced. There are many other people who have their own version of Christmas. And you could be asking yourself, which one is the right Christmas? There is no right Christmas. There is no perfect Christmas. The perfect Christmas is not from the outside. It's from the inside. It's the peace you have with God. Paul says we're enemies with God. In this time where he was the best of the best religiously, he says, I was an enemy with God. Because it's not the outward tradition of man. Whether we have Christianized it, we have redeemed it, it's fine. But the real Christmas is the peace of God. It is the life of God. It is the reconciliation of God inside your heart. It is a relationship with God that you are saying, me and God, we are in good books. That is the Christmas. That is the perfect Christmas. When your heart, your conscience, your spirit, your heart, your conscience is not in the best of places, your heart with God, you, no matter how great a Christmas outwardly it can be, it's not a real Christmas. And I want us to celebrate this Christmas today because God has given us the perfect Christmas in his Son, who has come in our hearts to become the Lord and Savior of our lives. He lives with us, he walks with us, he goes with us. It doesn't matter where I go, but he is with me. He says, lo and behold, I'm with you up to the ends of the age. Let me just try and conclude with the next slide. I understand, so this is the slide. I understand why my journey was like that in three phases. The second journey, the second part is what I call the zombies, because there is all this death around you. There is all this church activity. There is all this confusion. And also, I was in church, but I did not know that I was dead. The most dangerous place is not to be dead, but is to be dead and not know that you are dead. To be dead and think that you are alive. That's what I call the zombie stage, where I was in this religious observance stage where I would observe all the religious rules, but my heart was far from God. I didn't have a personal relationship with God. I was dead, but I thought I was alive. I was in this place between the dead and the living. And until I found the Christ, the living. So you can see from my story, which one is the living stage, the living, the dead, and the zombies. And there are so many people around the world today. In fact, the biggest deception of our day around us today is not the dead. The dead who are in sin and wild parties and stuff, they know that they are dead, spiritually speaking, in relationship with God. But the most difficult place is this gray area where someone is one leg there, one leg there. They quite don't, they observe the Christian rules, but they don't have the relationship with the Christ of the Christianity. And I'm glad that we are here this morning. We have a relationship with him. And it's a reminder and understand how we got here. It is because there's a thing called legalism, license, and liberty. Legalism is an attempt. My parents tried on me, we all do this on our kids, to ensure that you are not free to sin. To avoid me going into immoral activity and sin, they put guardrails and rules and all these things to ensure that I don't fall into sin. I don't sin. I don't make, you know, I don't do the bad stuff. Is to ensure that, but unfortunately in the process, it eventually became a place where I am not free to sin. Because it's coming from the outside. The monitoring and the enforcement is external. License says you are free to sin. There is another extreme where it says, you know what? We are all believers. Christ has forgiven our sins, past, present, and future. You can do what you want. There's a space where grace has become like, you know what, you can live anyhow, you can be the best of yourself you want. Those people will have a bad awakening on the day the whistle blows. Because they think that I can live anyhow. It's an insurance policy. Once I've said yes to Christ, that's it. I'm done. I can live anyhow, I can be who I am. In other words, it says you are free to sin. And as much as we are free to sin, freedom is an important part, but we must know that sin has consequences. But then liberty says you are free not to sin. Liberty gives you the best of both worlds. It gives you freedom to be who you are, but it gives you empowerment to overcome the sin. And that's what Christ, that's the place Christ wants us. So you see, legalism and license leads to zombies. It leads you to a place here where you are neither there nor here. You don't have a relationship. You're not empowered. You're just following the rules. You're just going with the traditions and the rules. But true liberty in Christ, you have got the freedom, because Jesus has given us the freedom of choice. But you have also been given the empowerment to say no. So it's all within your free will, your choice. But you also have the power to overcome. And so for me, I was brought up and I was shaped by legalism and by license in one way or the other. License sometimes was also a way to fight legalism. To say my parents want to control me and this when I went. So that's why when I went to boarding school, I didn't want the control that my parents had. I went to the other extreme of just, you know, license, because now I am free. I can do what I want. And therefore, legalism almost always produces its cousin license. It might look like when they are still at home, it might look like you've got them covered, but wait until they have the freedom. But when they meet the real Christ, when they meet the real freedom, they have the freedom to do what they want, but there's also the freedom to self-restrain on their own. The power that comes with the Holy Spirit. Like I told you, when I got baptized, the Holy Ghost, my life changed, because all of a sudden now I couldn't just, you know, the things that I struggled with, I could now overcome. And so this is Christmas for us. Last slide. Thank you. Let's close with this. The living, the Church of Jesus Christ, all of us here, we are part of the living church. The Bible says we are built up as living stones. We are part of the glorious church of Jesus Christ. We have been redeemed by the blood. We have been bought by a special price. That's why we are here today. So all that story I was telling you was about my story. But your story is in the living. Your story is not among the dead. Your story is amongst the living. And is amongst the living because of the work that Christ has done. And so Christmas for me is a day of celebration. Christmas for me is a day of appreciation. Christmas for me is a season of rest. And because Jesus says, come unto me, all those who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am a gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. And for me, rest, what rest looked like was rest from religion. For me, rest, it was rest from legalism. It was rest from license. It was rest from my own members. Paul says, my members want to do things and I can't control myself. Because I don't want to do this, but I do this because my body wants it and I find myself doing it. For me, rest, that Christ Jesus is the ability for me to be free from my own passions and from my own and from my body controlling what I do and what I do not do. That freedom has come over my life and I have the freedom because of Christ. That freedom for me is the freedom from religion. It's the freedom from being controlled by tradition, from being enslaved by tradition. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. For me, the greatest celebration of Christmas is the reconciliation between man and God. And I celebrate that. If it wasn't for Christ, this is personal. If it wasn't for Christ, I would have gone after whoever I wanted. I would have lived. I have a friend who was shot. We were friends in primary school. We were best buddies. We lived life this way. And on reflection, I realized, you know what? If Jesus didn't meet me at the age of 12, 13, I would be one of them. Because I would just have gone after my own passions. I would have gone after this. I would have gone after this. And so Christmas for me is a time to celebrate. It is a time to reflect on the goodness of God. That I have been bought by a price. That I have been saved from a projected damnation. I project what I could have been. And I see what I have been saved from. And I say, thank you, Jesus. So I want you to take this time to rest. Take this time to refresh your soul. Refresh your mind, your body. You know, it's a time to refresh. A time to reconcile. It's a time to, you know, to rest. Because God has given us rest. Hebrews chapter 4, the Bible says, one of the things I struggled with in closing, I've been closing for the last 10 minutes. One of the things I struggled with when I was a kid, things started off in the village. There was a scripture which was read at church one day, Leviticus chapter 11. And they said, these are the foods you shall not eat. Foods like this, like this, like this. And one of them was pig, pork. And because I really wanted to be a good boy, a nice boy, one who doesn't, you know, destroy God's laws, I really followed that to the T. I didn't eat pork. I didn't eat any of those foods that are prohibited for years. I was a slave. By that which was supposed to liberate me, it enslaved me. Because I didn't know the full truth. Or the other thing was the Sabbath. The Ten Commandments, keep the Sabbath day holy. So when I went to high school, on a Saturday, we were required to do dorm duties and clean. And I was always struggling. My conscience was torn apart. I am working on a Sabbath. God must be angry with me. For years, I was a slave. I mean, this really affected me. Like, I didn't want to break God's laws. I didn't want to do this because scriptures were read to me. And I knew God doesn't like this. Until many years when I heard a preacher break it down clearly that in Christ, Hebrews chapter 4, the Sabbath rest is when you are in Christ. Therefore, you have entered his rest. I realized, oh, so God is not angry with me on a Saturday when I couldn't. So because I've entered, so I'm like, all these rules that kept me a slave, they are outward things, but the reality is the Christ inside. I held on to the outward and I became a slave. And even after I received Christ, because someone had not explained to me that the reality, the substance of all these shadows is Christ. Christ is everything you need. That was my liberation. I became free. And I became free even to serve God. It didn't take long after that, I was ministering. I was serving the Lord. I realized serving the Lord is the most beautiful thing in the world. I felt like a butterfly. I felt so free. It was the freest I have ever been in my life. And I pray that we all come to the place where our journey with Christ is a journey of liberty, a journey of freedom, a journey of redemption, and a journey of reconciliation and a journey of rest. God bless you. Let's stand on our feet. Thank you. Let's do declarations. We just want to do declarations even as we close this season, not just this service, but this season. We speak the grace of God over your life. May the hand of God be upon you. May you grow to appreciate the grace of God that has come upon you because of his death, because of his birth, and his coming and of his resurrection. We speak the blessing of the Lord when you come in, when you go out. We speak rest. May there be rest for your soul. Sometimes, Lord, we experience physical rest, but don't experience rest in our hearts, in our souls, in our spirits. But we speak rest that, Lord, even as we rest physically, our hearts, our minds are freshened. Our souls find rest and freshness. And our relationship with you, we are accepted. We don't have to strive or perform, because we are already accepted in Christ. Thank you, Lord, that our acceptance is not because of what we have done, but because of what you have done. It is not because of what religious traditions we have followed, but it is because of what you have done. May liberty and freedom be our portion every day of our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. 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 God bless you. This is the end of our service. Please, let's stay for coffee and let's enjoy. God bless you.